นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนิพพานังปรมังสุขังติติGood evening, everyone. How are you today? Do you have enough dinner? So I heard that today is the last English Dhamma talk for this year, correct? And then you are going to be really busy preparing for your exam for the students.So I wish you the best for your exam, a triple plus. When we arrived earlier, I just have time to walk around on top another floor. I saw advertising of mindfulness meditation because this week seems to be a well-being, correct? Week, you got.Mindfulness meditation class, and you got Tai Chi exercise in lunch time in the what you call library lawn. Did you see that advertised? Is this New South Wales University? I just saw advertising up there, October 2017 for this month and this week.And I saw another paper survey, like students to enroll, because they're surveying the practice of mindfulness. Have you seen that advertising? Nobody see?
But it's for law department.
Only for law department? Oh, I see. I thought that any student can enroll. They like to know the benefit of mindfulness.That can help the students or not in this university. So it seems to be a kind of popular. And I think that it is a good thing when it is popular or common to be mindful. And the talk for this evening, let us emphasize for... Can we use this thing? Maybe we call delusion, ponder, not so sure. Or let's say wrong action. And this is a big word.Suffer and another word. These two words linked to one another. So maybe you have to refresh your memory. Buddhist teaching is directly deal with the word suffering or dukkha or unhappiness.Buddhist teaching is different from philosophy, from hypothesis. This is would like to clarify with you. Philosophy may talk in very broad and scale the idea of the peaceful society, for example. But there's no definite application how you practice it. So it can open for.Debating, arguing. Buddhist teaching is not in that manner. Buddhist teaching is about theory, but very practical theory. So Buddhist teaching is about theory and how to apply into our everyday lifestyle. So this is the characteristics of Buddhist teachings. Nowadays, there are many people study Buddhism,But not in a practical way. Many people may read Buddhist book. Many people will like to listen many Buddhist Dhamma talk. But they may not apply into practice. So in that case, we can say that they don't really study Buddhism. Because when you use the word study Buddhism, it means practice it. It doesn't mean just read and listen. And that is one of the reason why the people who know a lot of Buddhist literature can be PhD in Buddhism, but may not be able to overcome unhappiness in life because forgot to apply into actions or to practice it. So if we are clear about this, the Buddhist teaching is about how to end unhappiness. And we put whatever the Buddha taught into practice. It is interesting that in the time of the Buddha, many people listen to the teachings of the Buddha, not as philosophy, but they're keen to listen and apply or practice it. That is why we could see in the textbook say, every time the Buddha gave a talk, someone will be enlightened because they're not just listening for pleasure or just for information or fun, but they would like to know the solution, how to solve the problems that happen to them. So we'd like you all to be clear in this way. Second, when we use the word false or wrong, it must have another word called right. Right and wrong. This is a characteristic of Buddhist teachings because the word false or wrong related to unhappiness. The word right means opposite, means the end of unhappiness. See? So we don't say that good Buddhism or bad Buddhism. We talk about right or wrong. Because if we practice it so wrong, our headache, our stress, our anger, our worry, our anxiety is still there. But if we put into the right practice, they all should go down or should finish. So the word right in Pali language, we use the word samma, like samatiti, right understanding, or samasangkappa, right thought. Opposite, called wrong understanding, wrong thought. Like the word mindfulness itself, leading to the end of unhappiness, we use the word samma sati, right mindfulness. Some people can practice mindfulness, but leading to more problems, leading to nuclear missiles launch. In order to do that kind of weapon, people must have very good mindfulness. Correct? If you don't have good mindfulness, you cannot build the nuclear bomb. You key the wrong words all the time. Correct? If you have good concentration, you can key the right code. Good concentration, good mindfulness, you can press the right button and nuclear missile launch and kill millions of people. They must have good mindfulness, good concentration. Otherwise, they can't do it. But it's not called right mindfulness. It's not called right concentration. Because they're not leading to the end of unhappiness. They're leading to more problems. So this is one characteristic that common words, qualities of the mind, can go into two different directions. Mindfulness can be good. Mindfulness can be really bad. Concentration can be really good. Concentration can be really bad. It depends on what lead that mindfulness, what lead that concentration. So this is what Buddhist teachings, we talk about the right view or right understanding. So I would like to explain the concept of today by my special tool. Have you seen this one before? What happened? Oh. Now I can't see. Since we were born, we may be looking for something that we call happiness. Because if we talk about this false practice of Buddhism, so we have to say about right practice of Buddhism, or we have to say that what is Buddhism is for? For we are looking for end of unhappiness. Or let's say that people looking for happiness. So if I wear this kind of chain, and then I'm going to have dinner with you, after that I'm going to watch movie with you, and then going to do shopping with you, you think that I feel that comfortable? I go to bed with this chain. I want to play tennis with this chain. I want to play basketball with this chain. I don't think that I feel comfortable at all. So I have some kind of unhappiness. Something limits my freedom. Quite heavy and very uncomfortable. So I may go to the Buddhist temple, ask the monk, please bless me. I don't know why, but I feel very uncomfortable. Headache, stress, worry. The monk may give you holy water. The monk may give you a lot of chanting blessings. And you feel a little bit good, but you know that it's still heavy. All right? So I may go to Thailand and ask Thai monk, please, can you give me a really powerful Buddha? And the Thai monk say, this Buddha image called Pak Rod from Lumpur, very famous Buddha image. 700 years old. If you have with you on an arm, put the necklace, carry with you, you're free from danger. So I'm going to put my chain, hook the Buddha in this, and go to play tennis, ping pong, shopping, eBay, computer games. I make appointment with my girlfriend, let's have dinner together, go to bed. I still feel not that comfortable. So some people may come to the temple and ask that, can I light the incense offered to the Buddha? Then maybe I feel happier temporarily, but still heavy. Maybe I have to offer fruit to the Buddha, then I should feel better. Still feel heavy. So, oh, sorry. And Thailand said that sometimes we have bad luck in life. Then you should go to the temple, dress in white, observe 8 precepts, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, to clear all the bad luck. Then I dress in white and still heavy even in the temple. So I do a lot of offering to the temple and wish all the best to come, but still heavy here. So people feel that wherever we go, even to the Buddhist temple, even do chanting, or even come to practice meditation, Pramana say have a little smile, but still heavy here. Enter into the calmness of mind, still heavy here. So that's something that lucky our consciousness let us know. Something not that right. If it's right, we should not feel like this. So we can see that put a lot of holy objects, do a lot of burning incense candles, a lot of monks chanting, go to the temple, practice meditation, still feel something very heavy here. Something must be wrong. And that is what we say, that because we don't really understand clear that whatever we're looking for, we call happiness. Where is happiness? Or let's say that why we were born. What is the purpose of life in that case? Because Buddhist teaching is about purpose of life. So if we can ask our question to ourselves that what is the purpose of our life, then we may be able to find the reason why we were born in this world. In absolute answer for Buddhist teachings, we were born in order to achieve the best that a Homo sapiens human beings like this can do. Do the best that a human being can do. And Buddhist teachings say, what is the best as a human being can do? We call liberation, freedom from this. And liberation or freedom in Pali language called as moksha. Sometimes they call as nirvana in Sanskrit or nibbana in Pali, or English called enlightenment, the end of unhappiness. So instead of burning incense, offer fruit to the Buddha image, do a lot of chanting, a lot of practice, meditation, a lot of Tai Chi exercise, a lot of yoga exercise, like this. So we may have to come back to ask the answer that, to ask a question that, what is this chain? Because if we know that we lock ourselves here, only one way to be free is to unlock the chain. And that becomes the characters of Buddhist practice. In Buddhist teachings, there is some great details in depth. There are 10 kinds of chain. First, we call Sakkaya Thitti, wrong view of self. Sakkaya Thitti, wrong view of self, and carry this big chain. It's me, it's my body, it's my feeling, it's my nails, my skin, my hands. So Buddhist teachings, we may need to understand this is the lock, because if we say my hair, this morning I just shave the hair, so you don't see our gray hair. But every day, look at the gray hairs and look, it is my hair. Sometimes people ask you, how old are you? In Australia, people can get quite upset because you're talking about my old age. Look at your wrinkled skin, so beautiful. Look at your pimple. Look at your dirty nails. People may not be happy. So one of the chain that lock us, and the really first one, is wrong view of self. People think that this is my body, instead of just body, which come from elements, from food, from drink, and the body never listen to anybody. So this is the first thing that Buddhist, the right practice of Buddhist teachings, that we need to unlock the very first chain that make us not so happy. Dr. Minter is here, and going to be Dr. Harry, and a few doctors here, and nurses. You can see that some patients can be very accepting. Yes, the body is sick and can smile. Yes, I have bad knee. Yes, I have bad shoulder. Yes, my stomach is not so good. You can see these patients, these people who accept that is the way the body is. Even though pain, but they don't really suffer emotionally that much, because the person knows how to unlock the very first chain. We call the wrong view of self, Sakkaya Thitti. Second, we call Silaprama. Silaprama means superstitious practice. This is the second chain that make us suffer. You can see that some people become victim of magic, superstitious, supernatural power. And people think that you have to dress certain color on a certain day, and fortune tellers play a lot roles into this belief, and we just follow the wrong path. For example, when I was in my high school, going to university, the very famous Emerald Buddha in the Emerald Buddha Temple right in Bangkok. Very famous. So my friend told me, if you like to pass exam, go to university, you go to ask the Buddha help you. And if you pass the exam or university, you can offer 500 boy eggs to the Buddha. Luckily that I did not ask the Buddha to help me, otherwise my mom will complain a lot. That is we call superstitious practice. And then what happened? Sometimes we waste a lot of time, waste a lot of energy. We become victim. And many things that happen in the world that get involved with this supernatural power, superstitious practice, we can say that people will waste time, waste money, and nothing really happened. Many years ago, the monks in Bada Noon accept invitation all the time. When someone opened a new shop, new restaurant, new house, those days we have many monks, so we go there and blessing for the new restaurant, for the new house, for the new car. It is a Thai tradition as a good luck. And a few restaurants closed down. So I feel, our blessing is not that powerful enough. Bless a new car, and 1 week later the car can't start. Since then I stopped blessing this house, blessing the car, blessing the restaurant, because it never worked in that way. But some people really believe it as the inspiration is okay, but we know the truth that it not work. It's just a good wish. But the real thing, to have a good business, you have to do something else. And some people have false beliefs saying that if you offer like this month, we call Katina ceremony. You heard about Katina ceremony? Offering the new robe to the Theravada temples. All Theravada temples in the world have 1 month period for people to bring in the robe gift to the monks. You remember Sayadaw, the Burmese monk who stayed with us? Yesterday he came to visit with the deputy head monk of Bangladesh. When he stayed with us many years ago, he asked Pramana, why don't you accept Katina robe? You should have Katina ceremony. So I asked him that, why? Because in the Buddhist textbook, Theravada said that offer the robe on that particular function bring a lot of merit. Say, I said that, really? One robe can make a lot of merits? He said, yes, this is all the Theravada Buddhist country, Thailand, Laos, Burma, Sri Lanka. So Sayadaw, you look into all storage. How many sets of monks' robe? A few hundreds. And we can't wear it because we have only 2 months, 3 months. And then the rats start to eat the monk's robe. And we have problem with the storage. We try to donate to Salvation Army. And they say, we can't use them. I don't know what they are. So I asked, how can Katina robe once a year bring a lot of good karma, a lot of merits? That means health, money, reputation. It not make sense at all. Of course, in some country where have a lot of monks and don't have enough rope, it's good. But also too much, you can go to, don't believe me, you go to interview every Thai or Theravada temples in Sydney. How many monks rope do you have available? All of them will complain. Not have enough storage room. So I asked him that, what happened when you got the monk's robe like this? Because people bring a lot of robe and you can use only once. It's not torn out that easy. So it will go back to the shop and circulate like this. So become just opportunity to make some income for some shop, for some people, because of tradition. So I asked that, how about people who not Thai or not Theravada offer something, help something, and they don't expect merit? Very different. We have Bada Noon stupa built of sandstone, and the person who offer is Aussie, and he didn't think about good karma. He didn't think about merit. He happy to help because he got the stone. And he's happy because he sees the monks do hard work. We have a lot of gravels, we have a lot of steels, we have a lot of timbers. All come because these people see the monks work hard and see that this production come back to the community. So they support. They don't think about merit at all. So I asked him, what do you think about this? Is this a big merit or small merit? Where someone just offer one piece of rope, expect millions of dollars come back. So this is not a generosity at all. It is a very conditional, we call bargaining. So this is how that, with right understanding that Buddhist teaching is about the end of unhappiness. So whatever we practice is leading to the end of this chain, to break the chain from this neck, we call the right practice. Offering a lot of rope, a lot of donation, doesn't mean that we can break free from this if we start with wrong understanding. So we can see that the second Dhamma practice is to help us to get away from this magic, supernatural power. Things should make more sense. So Silapatha Pramat, you're not going to the temple to off, to dress in white color, and then you're going to expect good luck. You not expect that you have to burn certain number of incense, so you're going to pass exam. You not to expect that if you practice meditation in that way, you're going to be healthy. It's just all about how we can break this chain, unlock myself, and feel free. The third lock that makes us suffer, we call vichikicca, doubt. D-O-U-B-T, correct? Doubt. Vichikicca. Not so sure. Not certain. Have no confidence. No confidence in oneself. No confidence in the technique that we're doing. No confidence in our actions. So vichikicca, when we have doubt, uncertainty, like Buddhist teaching talking about stress, what stress happened, how to overcome stress, near exam phenomena. We have to say that near exam phenomena in all the students is someone scream at night time in the dormitory. Have you seen that kind of thing? No? In my time, we stay in dormitory, near exam, you heard someone become a werewolf. At night time, because I can't finish reading tomorrow exam. And someone screamed at night time because they didn't have enough time to prepare themselves. We call it near exam phenomena. Like in the hospital, they say near death experience. So we could see that doubt, uncertainty, lack of confidence, because we're not sure how to deal with stress that coming to this near exam. Worry of this near exam phenomena. We are not so sure that someone said that you better drink more lemon juice, it helps you to cope with the stress. Someone said you better drink more beetroot and celery and ginger, healthy drink for you. Some may say different way, and you think that that can cope with some kind of anxiety in yourself. And because Buddhist practice talk directly about this unhappiness, uneasiness, once we learn how to remove it, that doubt, that hesitation, lack of confidence will slowly go down. So these three words, we call checkers, is the first thing that people will experience in the name of unhappiness. For example, come to study this university and supposed to be after graduation for the good job. But sometimes you're not so sure. Doubt. I don't know, you have any doubt? Sometimes you graduate commerce, but you have to go do farming. My elder brother do farming course. Then after graduation, have to do commerce. Help my dad to do the timber business. when he's student, he just try to milk the cow. After graduation, have to cut the timber. No more cows. So we never know. Uncertainty. Correct. That is how people are anxious, or we call butterfly in stomach. When you buy a new MP3 recorder, you may have confidence in this brand name, Sony. But if you buy something that you never heard about the name, it's called Wombat. It's cheap, but it's really cheap, but you still have doubt, correct? Uncertainty that you can trust this one or not. So same thing that happened to everything in our life. So in particular for Buddhist study and practice, that what I'm reading here is definitely help me to be free from this chain. The meditation practice that I'm doing, is it certainly leading to be free from this unhappiness? So this doubt will be heavy in our heart. When I first became a monk, I have so much doubt in meditation, because before I became a monk, I have one technique. As I in the student, I practice one technique. But once you become a monk, study with this group, my teacher recommend breathing technique. So I have doubt that which way is the right way. And my teacher say both ways are good if you practice and observe. And then I observe myself. I know that for my characters, I feel that breathing technique suit me, that can help the mind to feel calm, less anxious. So eventually the word doubt that create uncertainty and lack of confidence will slowly go down. So the next one we call sensual desire. Kamaraka. Sensual desire. Like, who like to see beautiful things? Who like to hear beautiful sound? Who like to have beautiful smell, beautiful taste, beautiful touch? Connect to five organs: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. That's why we call sensual desire. But related to this sensual organs, sensual objects. So this sensual desire is one of the hook. Sometimes people, for example, some monk in Thailand used to be in a very busy place, a lot of people, and then came to Buddhanoon, very quiet, no people, only wombats and kangaroos. So some monk really feel lonely, very lonely, because he missed seeing people, missed talking to many people. So many monks can't stay in Buddhanoon because of this one of the sensual desire. Some people many years ago, some Thai people came to Sydney and can't stay that long, go back to Thailand. Say why? Because they don't have chili in Sydney. The food is not spicy enough. I can't survive in Sydney anymore, go back to Thailand. This is called sensual desire, because of the tense. So we could see that that is another kind of lock. That sometimes we feel that we would like to do something, but our thought that we desire to see beautiful things, beautiful sounds that make us happy, not available there. So it stops us in doing Dhamma practice. Like in the meditation retreat in the monastery, we say that only vegetarian food will be served during the retreat. Some people miss the meat. I can't survive the weekend without meat. So they can't really join the practice of meditation. That is one example. So we can see this kind of desire is one kind of block that make us not free, or we call unhappy in some cases. The next one. Anger is one of the lock. Once we have angry thought, we know that we occupy already by that emotion. Then we can't perform that will. For my own case, I'd like to give you as case study. Kim has been observing me that in the past many years, every time in this nearby my birthday, she observed, nearby my birthday, Pramana is very moody. Kim said that when you give a talk to people, you keep on smiling like this, but when you go temple, Nearby my birthday, Pramana is really moody. Maybe hormone. Something that every birthday coming, transformation happen like the movie Transformer, or the machine, or the steel, or the armor. So I know that when bad mood occupy the mind, I can't smile. I can't eat properly, I can't sleep properly because of angry thought, moody thought. Everything can make anger happen. The kangaroo come at the wrong time, wombat poo too much, the parrots eat. You eat already once while you come back again. And the fish, why you not come up to the surface? And the peacock, why you cry too loud? Everything can make angry thought happen. So I feel that every time angry thought happen, I'm not free, suffer. And then, why everyone run away from me? And Long Pa Sword become victim. Because and the poor cat in the kitchen become victim too. You cry too much, you eat already, why you so choosy? They give you the dry food, you cry for the can. No! So we can see that that is another chain that makes the mind not happy at all, suffer. So I know that whenever the mind is occupied by that bad mood, it's not free. It's very uncomfortable, like this really heavy chain. So now we acknowledge that there's something wrong in the practice, that this is the lock, that we feel really uncomfortable, that's why we suffer. The next one we call Ruparakha, means we call form or material desire. We call material. Material desire or desire for material. Next is non-material or Ruparakha. Sometimes we can see the Ruparakha, material desire, which is different from the sensual desire. One thing clear is that sensual desire is very obviously clear to these five sense doors. For example, good movie happen now, must go to see the good movie. Sometimes we try to practice meditation, focus on our study in the exam, but good movie is there, then that thought heavy, you can't really concentrate on your study. Or near exam, like to study, or near concert happen, the desire to pull out us. The mind is heavy because of that desire. But this one, material desire, it is different from the sensual desire. For in practice of meditation, we call rupachana. Means when people can practice meditation until the mind is calm, quiet, relax. People like it. Like desire for that relaxation, calmness. And it related to material because it depends on the technique. Like breathing technique, the breath still material. The calmness of mind comes from the feeling of breath. Or look at the candlelight and the mind is quiet. So attach to that quietness that comes from the fire. Or look at the crystal ball and the mind is calm. Love that calm feeling, attached to that calm feeling related to the crystal ball. So people who practice meditation and achieve that calmness of mind still not be free. They got locked by that desire. And we have seen in our retreat that someone practiced meditation more than 20 years and then one day came and admit that something must be wrong. Because in the past 2 months, I have very good every evening meditation for 2 months. Suddenly, everything turned upside down. Mindfulness gone, calmness gone. Cannot bring the mind back into the calmness again. So the person almost turned to be depressed, so upset. It is more than losing the championship of the Olympic Games. You know, you can win the gold medal, and next year someone win the gold medal. But this, you may have that sad feeling, but when you lose, that very calm, beautiful, relaxed feeling is like fall down from the heaven. It can make people depressed. And he suffered. He said that he just start again, like he never practiced meditation again before. And he put a lot of expectation, come back, come back, come back. So every meditation session, he turned up to be very stressed. So we can say that that is one of another lock, another chain. Desire to have that calmness, happiness from that kind of meditation that related to materials. How about ordinary people who don't have that deep meditation? Materials here means beautiful view. It's not related to that exciting movie. Exciting movie is one thing clear, but beautiful view, beautiful classic calm painting, soft music. It's not like rock and roll music. Very smell, was subtle, nice, not like strong fragrant. So this is another form that people may attach the desire for that kind of beautiful form, beautiful smell, but mostly on the material side of things that have more subtle feelings than that sensual desire. Now for the next chain, non-material desire, we call arupa raka. Now not related to material things at all. For example, when people practice meditation using breathing technique and can calm down the mind, but can still see that the breath is still distracting. So want the mind to be more quiet. So don't care about the breath. Use the other form of meditation, which no form. For example, the space, emptiness as an object of meditation. And now when you deal with non-material meditation, the mind must be more refined. Mindfulness must be stronger, as well as concentration of mind much deeper. Because there's nothing for the mind to grasp at all. The person must use their own imagination. So the person can enter into very deep concentration of the mind. In Pali language, we call arupa chana, formless absorption. In the time of the Buddha, after he renounced the world, he visited 2 great teachers of ancient India who taught him to do very deep concentration of the mind, and he got it. But he's aware that after he came out from meditation, the chains come back again. So enter into that formless or non-material meditation, feel so calm, so peaceful. So the highest level of this formless or non-material meditation we call niva sanya na sanya yatana, means that the body still alive but act like a dead person. Means try not to let the mind respond to anything. Just only the body is there, that the mind just turn numb to everything in order to make this mind so calm, so clear, so peaceful, no reaction. Or in our language, we call act like a zombie. If someone lack, act like a zombie, you can tell, oh, he must be in deep meditation. The body he has seen in university, but the mind not yet. Zombie. And feel calm because no reaction, no response. So that is another change, because when the mind not influenced by anything, the mind can keep calm, quiet, and give a lot of happiness. So the next one, we call mana, my name, conceit, proud of oneself, feel proud because, for example, sometimes I heard a joke from some meditation center. They said that this class is just for people who have very small or just a little bit of calmness of mind. You better sit here. And this class is just people who can sit for long, a deeper meditation. Lunchtime, this table for average, that table lunch is for deep meditation people. It's like go airline, economy class and business class. Sometimes people carry that conceit, pride, without knowing, attachment to oneself, that I'm champion, I'm better than you. So we call ego, the feeling of ego because accomplished of something. And we could see that it happened to many people who, like a general, the retired general, think that he always a general. People have to address and salute to him all the time. So this is called conceit. So if we go back to number 7, non-material desire, if for ordinary people, we're talking about people who not care much about exciting movie, people who not care much about beautiful picture, but people may care of what they have done. For example, bun. I just come back from the temple. I do a lot of bun merit. I feel so happy that I did a lot of good karma. Some people may love antique, broken bill. Some people say exciting to see a broken bill. Antique, oh, so good, so beautiful. And if you give to some teenager, they just throw into the trash bin. This is so beautiful, exciting. It's 2,000 years old from the first emperor of China. What do you call Huang Ti? What is the name of the first emperor of China? So exciting about that. And in general, people don't, it's not beautiful at all. But people love antique. It's go beyond sensual desire, go beyond that material. Correct? And antique bell cost a lot more than the normal bell from eBay, maybe $10. Antique bell can be thousands of dollars. People value the antique bell than the brand new bell. So we can see that people attach to the non-material desire more than the material desire. Have you collect any old stamps? Some antiques? You can see that we attach to them more than anything. So we can see that people move from material to become something in their own mind, their own attitudes. Correct? Their own attitudes make more value. I have to confess to you, in the year 2003, when we start to build the Gratitude Pagoda in Bandung, we went to Thailand with Kim's husband, family, and a few monks. And we let we visit some temple. We tell the airport that we're going to build the pagoda in Australia. And some airport, some people will ask me, do you have the Buddha relics? I say, no, I don't have. Then I like to give you the Buddha relics. Oh, so excited, so happy. Because considered to be the holiest of the holiest object, the ashes of the Buddha, or the ashes of the enlightened monks. So happy. Give me a little bit portion. Go to buy very expensive container and put a little bit, put a cotton perfume, very small, like a grain of sand, and wrap with silk, 7 layers, put on the golden tray, perfume again, carry like this all the time, come to Thai Airlines on board in Bangkok, the air hostess come, can I help you to move this one up there? I say, no, this is the Buddha relics. Oh, really? The whole air hostess, the air crews come, oh, Buddha relics. Very strange. Go to the airport, Bangkok, everyone, very strange, come all the way. Come to Sydney Airport. They would like to scan. No, this is the ashes of the Buddha. Oh, please go. All the luggage, go. No X-ray, clear. Free line. So powerful. Yeah, so happy. Buddha is chanting every day, every morning, every evening. So strong, powerful. The Buddha blessing me. We can build a pagoda. We're going to build a pagoda. Oh, people. Okay, I help you, support you. Look, Buddha relics. Oh, see. And then a few years later, I took Kim, her husband, daughter, remember? We went to Bangkok. Another place, the man said, I am to the center of the Buddha relics. Come to have a look. Oh, beautiful Buddha relics. Oh, we just think, can I have some? I don't ask it. But my hand signal, my eye signal like that. So, so again, we went to Bangkok. Now it is a market, a supermarket that sell a lot of antique Buddha, whatever. That replica means that the brand new Buddha image, but make it like really old. And as we just walking along the supermarket, we saw, oh, Kim, look, what is this? A plastic container, clear plastic container. Inside you can see many different kinds of Buddha relics and Arahant relics from Sariputta, Vimokalana, Vimananda, whatever monks that you know in the Buddha time. You say, what is this? And the lady say, I think it's called relics. Do you want some? See how much? Oh, if in this small container, maybe 100 baht. A lot. Yeah, but if you buy the whole container, I give you discount. How many kilograms of the relics do you want? I think we are really surprised. Because they exactly look real thing that they carry from the Thai Airlines that look exactly the same thing. So they say there's some tests that you know that the relics of the Buddha are real or not real. Because that Buddha relic is red color. They say put into the water, it floating and joined together in the center. It is the real relics. So I put the red Buddha relics. Oh, it's floating. Look, Kim. They are joined to the center. Look. And next morning, I see why the red color come out to the world. And then another one, the yellow, the green relics. They say the green relics come from some kind of liquid of the body. The red relics come from the blood of the Buddha. Put the green relics. The green color slowly come out. So eventually, that all plastics. All silica, correct? That you can get it easy when you buy anything and you got a pack of absorbent moisture. You know that one? If you tear it open, you can see a lot of relics there inside. Some people mass production and put the news, all the relics exactly look like in the book on sale. So we could see that time when I got it and didn't know, this is non-material design. I feel so happy. Oh, I got a lot of Buddha relics. It's my own imagination, my own attitude. And I feel so much energy because of my own attitude, my own way of thinking. So, and that will give me a lot of pride, and of course, cost a lot of money too. So this is something that we call non-material desire, that people attach to something like antique, and this kind of attachment more subtle and stronger than just go to see a new movie. So next one, another chain. We call uttaccha. Uttaccha means restlessness. But this kind of restlessness is not ordinary. It is a kind of not so sure. So I just put in English expression, in case, ... Not so sure, in case. For example, you already have your dinner, you feel full. People ask you, you want to have dinner? No, thank you, I'm so full. But someone just cooking something. Are you sure you don't want to have dinner? Oh, just in case. Just in case. I don't want to miss anything. Just in case. So this is another very subtle chain that creates that you are not really certain that you are really full. Because just in case, don't want to miss out something. So this is really subtle form. And sometimes people achieve deep or good meditation, still not so sure that is it good enough, something better than this or not. Or you got only 1 degree, you're not so sure that it's good enough, should I do another degree? You already have 1 girlfriend, not so sure that you have another. Just in case. Yeah, first boyfriend, really. Yeah, just in case another boy. Because we're not so sure, not really clear of our own happiness or inner peace. Now, the most difficult thing, the last chain, the heaviest one, and the most powerful one. Ignorance itself. Avijja. Ignorance, not really know, not clear. I'm not so sure that I practice meditation in this way to help me to be free from this unhappiness or suffering. I'm not so sure that a walking meditation like this, it really helped me to get that kindness and wisdom and to be free. So I'm not so sure that I act like this, say like that, it helped me to be free from stress. So ignorance is the last one, that not completely understanding. So when we talk about the right practice of Buddhism, we need to address these 10 names. In Pali language, we call Sangyot. In English, we call Shackle, correct? Shackle. Sangyot, Shackle, like chain. 10 things that we know that we practice Buddhism correctly or not. Because if we practice correctly, one by one it will drop. Let's say that which one will drop first. Because the easiest one, the clearest one, is number one. Wrong view of self must go first. When you come to the Buddhist temple, the monks will always say that body is impermanent. Old age, sickness, and death. Very certain. You always hear like that. This is the first thing that people need to address. Wrong way of this self, in particular for the body. We all keep on reminding, oh, old age, oh, gray hair, oh, wrinkled skin. That is the way it is. In order to let the mind know that body is not belong to self, not yourself. It's just the body. So if you go to any temple and the monk keep on, oh, you always look young, you always look beautiful. So that is not the right practice. The right practice is this first thing, that people have to acknowledge that this body sooner or later will go away. Second, superstitious practice as well. It will never happen to us, because to unlock the very first one, you need to know the code. Pass, you see the code? Can you help me to free? Yeah. You see number?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to put in the right number, otherwise I can't get it out.
It's a lot of combinations.
Yeah. Yep. The combination is called anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, impermanent. The first combination called impermanent. If you don't put the right combination, can't be free. So in order to explain the very first one of overcome that wrong view, you must put the right combination. So first one free already. But you still have 9 locks. But at least you have more space in your neck. You still have the other. Correct? But you feel have more space already. That is how once we acknowledge in our mindfulness calmness of mind that eyes impermanent, ears impermanent, body impermanent, not necessary to be my body all the time. So at that time you see that it starts to be loose. Our attachment to the body becomes less. That means our suffering becomes less. That means this one less heavy. That means more freedom. And because of you put the right combination, that means you put the right effort and the right practice in order to have that right combination, that is the whole practice of the Noble Eightfold Path. So superstitious practice will slowly go away. Because you know that if you put the right effort, put the right combination, you have more freedom. So automatically, as we practice, overcome this misunderstanding that my body permanently fixed, I must be young permanently, my body all the time. Once we are able to overcome this misunderstanding, we at the same time overcome superstitious practice. Because we know that burning incense, offering a lot of fruit, building a lot of temple, offering a lot of monk's robe, it can't help to unlock this one. So instead of doing like that for the magic, we come back that we do like that in order to have the right combination. So now you will not waste your time to be carried away and become the victim of many people who claim that I am number one in the world, I am hero in the world, I can rescue the world, I am enlightened one. You're not to be carried by that kind of advertisement. But you have to see what they're teaching, what they're talking about. That it helped me to have less stress, to have less anxiety, to have less anger, or not. If it's not like this, then it may not be right. But if like this, okay. So we can see that nobody can get out. Nobody can get out of this superstitious practice only by your own realization. But at the same time, if thus put the wrong code, you never get out. But if you put the right code, it breaks away. So now you have no more doubt. If I put this one back, I told thus to 5, 7, 8. The monk say too fast. Come out.
Okay.
No. Still doubt. We still feel doubt if the monk say correct or not. Not correct. He say wrong decision. He say practice like that, you agree. 2, 5, 7, 8. The Buddha say, Noble Eightfold Path, 7 factors of enlightenment, 5 powers of the mind, 3 virtues. So wrong, you see. Oh, Brahma, not your life. 2, 5, 7, 8. Yeah. Mindfulness and wisdom and 5 powers.
No, it's correct.
Now both of them will clear all the doubts. Correct. What Prabhupada say? Correct. 2, 5, 7, 8. What Prabhupada say is correct because I'm free already. He say noble effort path. I practice it. Wow, my stress go little. My worry go down. My anxiety go down. I feel much calmer. So the third one gone. And if you make it happen clearly, if you are able to overcome these three first, you become because Sotavan. Or in Bali, the first enlightened person, the true Buddhist start from here. You not hit the other combination. No problem, you're wrong 2, 5, 7. No, it should be 3, 5, 7, 7. You be clear that no, not that. It's just only this 2, 5, 7, 8 that can unlock it. So it's characters of the very first true Buddhists. Because they know that if they practice accordingly, worry break away, stress break away, fear break away. And they know that we don't need to do a lot of magic and whatever to remove ourselves from this unhappiness in life. You must practice accordingly. So we can see the first characters of the very first true Buddhist person is to deal with the world. Moha, delusion. These three words is in the category of delusion. We don't talk about greed. We don't touch anger at all. So now we can see the attitude of Buddhist teachings in life. We don't talk about stop your anger and be a Buddhist. Or make more donation, you're a true Buddhist. The very first collectors of enlightenment is to have the right view, to clear delusion first, get out of that magic, get out of that wrong understanding of permanent I, permanent me, permanent mind. Get out of your uncertainty, doubt, lack of confidence in your Dhamma practice. That is the first collectors. So Unibuds, we never ask the new students that, please make more donation, you are true Buddhist. Stop your anger first, and then you can join Unibuds. No. Unibuds, we start with right understanding first. Understand how and what need combination to unlock oneself. And do it first. And you feel that, wow, when I practice like this, I feel much better, calmer, less worry than before. Must start from this one. So delusion is the first target. We heard in the scripture say lobha, dosa, moha, correct? Many monks we say that three defilements, greed, hatred, and delusion. But in practice, we work on delusion first, greed and hatred later. So if you understand like this, we will never get lost. So if you are able to overcome these three chains, now you become looser. Prabhupada feel more freedom. Still have more. Still have 7 to go. Sorry. So next one, we can deal with sensual desire. Exciting new movies, exciting new music. So it shows characteristic that if you are a true follower of the Buddha, you still can see movie. You still can go for concert. Okay? Don't stop your discotheque and party. Not to be worried about that. So far that you have right view, right understanding. Then sensual desire can be monitored. Because after you put again the code, anicchang, tukkhang anatta, impermanent, things depends on condition and factors. No self, non-self. So desire, it's just for I, me, my, to be happy. For us, we can see that even nice feeling is so important. So now these people have wisdom to deal with their own desire. I may desire to have a new MP3 recorder. But if this one's still working and it's still alright, so I don't need to buy a new one, which can be cheaper or more multifunction than this. But if this one's still okay, it's alright to use. And also, I'm not going to be worried too much about this because one day it will break down. Impermanent. So we can see that people start to look at happiness of the on this world as not a fixed one, but it's very temporary. And our pressure and our expectation toward this sensual desire will be under monitor. So eventually, we will be able to overcome sensual desire, which come together with anger. These two words linked to one another, because sensual desire is to pull in. If it is happy, and to pull in. But if it's not happy, the same energy to push out. So sensual desire and anger are like explosive. We can see really clear. When we are greedy, we like when we are moody, the very same energy. When we are greedy, nobody can stop us at all. When we are angry, it's again hard to stop. So these two are really explosive. Now we can see the coming of the word lopa, greed here. And the word tosa, anger, the same name. Now we can see lopa, greed, hatred, delusion. In practice, delusion must go first. Greed, anger become easier. Because we just self-center all the time. Once we start to recognize that this is so impermanent, anicca dukkha anatta, that is how the energy to pull in become less. The energy to push away become less as well. So if we are able to put the right code again, then it we will move into the second level of enlightenment. This is called first sodaban. The second one we call once returner. Once returner. Sakitakami. What does it mean, once returner? It means that they can come back to the sensual desire or the wrong view only once, because they're not 100% clear of their understanding yet. For example, if I ask Dr. Mingta, and for fun, please, some young kid primary school just have graduation, please come to the primary school party. What do you think? Come to the primary school students party. For fun. Okay. Still not so sure, because you passed that party already, correct? But if someone beg you, please, uncle or not uncle, let me just go. Okay, go, because the kid asks you, just go to make the kids, the children happy. But once is enough, okay? And not stay for the whole party, because you already passed that kind of interest. So the second enlightened person, after hit the code of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, impermanent things, so impermanent, realization, we don't talk about intellectual understanding, we're talking about realization, that every happy feeling is on and off. Emotions impermanent, beyond self-control. That is how interest in that sensual desire become less. Even anger become less. Though the second level of enlightenment still have this desire, anger, but you can't really see them show off. They're just in their mind. So that is the second character of the enlightened person. To let us know that we progress or we practice Buddhism or Dhamma rightly, correctly or not. Until material desire and non-material desire, this one will be overcome by the third level, because this is again greed. Now the word greed come back. Greed, but not greed for a very low level of happiness. Greed for a very subtle form of happiness. As we discussed earlier, the new bill, $10 eBay. Antique bill, $2,000. While people pay for the broken bills, the desire much more subtle. It gives a lot more happiness than the brand new bill, because people playing with their own attitude, their own mind. Sometimes I have seen the auction documentary, some ceramic cost billions of dollars, correct? Have you know about that antique shop auction? Millions of dollars for young people mean nothing. But for those people, means a lot. So why people spend millions of dollars for that broken jar, broken pot? Because of their stronger attachment to their own view, to their own attitude. People may attach to Transformer Part 5. Have you seen yet? Okay, it's coming soon. And people have attachment to Superman, Batman, Iron Man, Ant-Man. The next one is Tick Man. Have you seen Tick Man? It's coming. I saw it in advertising. But compare with this broken bill, attachment to the broken bill more than that movie. It carry more value. That's why to overcome this kind of subtle form of happiness, much more difficult. They can lose everything, but they don't lose the broken bill. Some people even got divorced because they love the broken bill more than their wife. Some antique people like that. And this is sometimes you can see that many great scientists have relationship problems all the time. Correct? You heard about Albert Einstein? First marriage, not successful. Both of them are what you call physics scientists. But because Albert Einstein sit alone in the window and calculating in the air for hours and hours, his wife say bye. No time to kiss. Oh, I can't kiss you. That formula is coming up. Yeah. You look into all this what you call great discovery in the past. You can see most of these people very bad relationship because they're playing with their own ideas. And they did it very well. That's why we learn now. So if you're going to be a great scientist or adventurous or discover something, better not marry. Then you can dedicate your time to the like that. And that is why the life of the Buddha, like that. He can't just marry under the Bodhi tree with the princess, with his wife. It's too difficult. So you can see that something, because it playing inside their own mind, in their own view, which is more subtle. Next one, if people can overcome this greed, which is much more powerful, deeper and more difficult, so we call the third level of enlightenment, which is called anakami, non-returner. never come back again. In the Buddhist textbook, may talk into superficially say that Anagami enlightened person will never come back to this world, be born in heaven. I think that is too superficial. But if we talk about Nasrin, means that like For Fun and Dr. Minta, if the second high school students have the party, farewell party, invite both of you. Let's go, uncle, For Fun. Have discotheque, dance, sing, we throw our t-shirt, we tear our own trouser, and we dance like that. What do you think? No. So For Fun become non-returner. The third level of enlightenment. Feel enough already. So these people feel enough from that kind of superstitious practice, that kind of magic, that kind of exciting thing. Because they see enough accommodation of anicjang tukhang anatta. Now we can see that once combination worked very well for a few times, what happened is that that third enlightenment person lighter and lighter, almost to the end. At least, how many of them gone? 7. You got only a few. Sorry, I say it wrong. This one become less, not all gone yet. Non-returner is completely these 5 things disappear. These 5 things disappear completely. But the first level of enlightenment, 3 things gone. The second of enlightenment, sensual desire and anger become less, but the third one, no more anger. This person never get angry, never be greedy for that sensual pleasure, but still has something subtle in their mind. Still have some greed, still have some delusion, not understanding, because they still have some more locks to go. So the person need to practice furthermore of this combination, anicjang dukkhang anatta. So if this called greed, so all this one, illusion again. Come back again. Delusion must be managed in the beginning. At the end, delusion have to be clear out from the mind. Beginning and the end. So we can see the target of Buddhist teachings really clear. We have to get right understanding or realization 100%. Otherwise, we can't overcome this conceit, restlessness, ignorance, as I, me, my. So the same combination of anicjang, dukkhang, anatta repeatedly that we practice, then this one will completely gone. And when this one gone completely, that is how we feel totally free. And this is the end of heavy, the end of unhappiness, the end of dukkha, the end of suffering, which equal to perfect enlightenment, freedom, liberation, inner peace or happiness. So we all realize little by little as we slowly delete these shackles, this chain. You know by yourself that you have less anger, less greed, less worry, less pride, more calm, or no more doubt, because nobody can tell us. We know because the word suffering become less and less. So I show all these maps or diagram because it is one of the most difficult subjects in Buddhist teachings. Sangyoshana or Sangyot or the checkers. Many people don't want to hear about that because it's so deep It is the fundamental of our unhappiness in life. So we can hear in general people, we talk into a very comfortable zone, superficial one, but lobha, greed, dosa, and moha. But even great details, this is how people feel, still feel not safe, not confidence, and not peaceful. Even though we are monks, doesn't mean that monks are free from this chain. If we don't repeat realization of impermanent, unstable, and not self, we call anicjang, dukkhang, anatta. So we have some time for question. Yes.
When you group them into the different categories, you had delusion at the start, and then greed, and then delusion again. So is hatred just mainly referring to anger?
Yep. The same group, anger, aversion, hatred. The same group of the reaction to push away. Whereas the word lobha, greed, is to pull in. Greed for the movie, sensual desire. Greed for beautiful house, material desire. Greed for this calmness of mind, free from material, become non-material desire. Still greed pull in for me, I. Yes. And I'd like to add a bit more, saying that this is a journey of life. Come back to the very first quote, why we were born. What is the purpose of life? So Buddhist teaching makes it really clear. We were born to achieve, to do the best thing that we can do. And the best thing that we can do is to free oneself from these 10 checkers, 10 chains. Because we achieve the perfect liberation, inner peace within. And because of this achievement, we can see that this inner peace we give back to the world. Because such a person who come to the final part have no more ego. The word I, me, my, completely gone. So you have much more time to help others. Because sometimes people wake up in the morning just for me first, my breakfast first, my bathroom first, me first, my TV first, my music first. But once we achieve into this inner peace, start to consider for the other to be happy, to be peaceful. That's why Buddhist teachings say that this is the best thing that we can achieve in life because it is the benefit for both. Now, for some people, may be easier than others because it depends on two factors. First, we call the genetic of individual person, someone born genius, the mind, the consciousness of that person. It's really exceptional. For example, I told you before, in the Buddhist textbook, you may heard that some young boys attain enlightenment at the age of 7. Some young monks at the age of 15 become arahant. You can say that that very exceptional case, but you can count how many of them. I heard, for me reading all the textbook, I heard 7 years old boy attain enlightenment, only 2. 7 years old girl attain the first level of enlightenment, Visakha, only 1. It's very rare, very exceptional. We say just for the genius in their own gene, in their own mind. The second part is more important. We call conditions and we call atmosphere, environment. The first one we call nature. The second one we call nurture. The power of nurture or nurturing power, that means education. That means cultural practice. We have to accept that when a lot of people do something, minority will follow. We call trendy, correct? It's popular. Or we call fashion. Once it becomes fashion, many people will do it so easy. And the power of education will help. Some people will unlock these checkers because of environment, because like Unibats have Dhamma talk like this. You don't perform, you don't have many Dhamma talk or Dhamma activities. So a group of people doing the same thing may attract someone who never know, never practice, interesting to come. But if Unibats have only 3 people and try to have Dhamma talk for 3 people, cooking for 3 people, play the sport for 3 people, and what you call body night for 3 people, maybe less successful, more difficult. So you can see that once you have more people, majority people will lead the minority of the people. So now it depends on the cultural practice as well as the power of education. So for someone who have a very exceptional case, that can happen even though not genius. Like because of this proper education, proper cultural value, once you are young, you can see what happened when people get married. You can see what happened when they have children. And you say that that is suffering enough. I don't want to follow that. It happened to many people that they don't need to have to marry. They don't need to have children. They don't need to go through that kind of headache and then renounce the world. They can see and then they just decide, I don't need to go through that one by my own experience. Only exceptional case, not everyone. In ancient India, they classify time in life into 4 periods. The first one we call Brahmachari. Since they're little, their duty is to study. Second one we call Garhat. After graduation, find a job, have your family. Third one we call Vanaparat, means start to do some good things for the others, start to do something for the community. And the last one we call Sanyasi, means renounce the world. It's enough. So we can separate life into 4 periods. That means after you retire, that is the time to renounce the world. But for some exceptional cases, people don't need to go through of that. From the little one, they can comprehend, they can see the experience in life and bypass having that kind of relationship, family and children, just bypass straight into our renunciation because they can see that there's some more things to do in life in order to benefit others. Like you can see many monks in Thailand ordained since they were little. But very few of them stay to the end of life. See, most of them will just disrobe when they come to the middle age because of hormone, because of the body, because of natural body response. So say that many monks that attain enlightenment in the Buddha time must go through this kind of worldly experience, relationship, family, children. Most of them are like that. Very few, very rare, exceptional case that can sit and see mom and dad fighting and they say, that's it, I don't want to marry anymore. Only few. Yeah. So this is just to let us know that it is through the power of education, nurturing, studying, practice that we can help to break these chains. Okay? If no question, then